Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Dr. Valerie Parker Hagen, and my co-host, Dr. J.R. Thicklin, is going to be joining us shortly. We're not live on the Blog Talk, so I need you to, okay, I don't see you.
I don't see you on the Blog Talk. Can Blog Talk be good to me? Okay, I think we're good to each other here. Those of you that are catching us, we're coming in on multiple platforms. So here it goes. I don't know if these guys always get along inside of that, but you both could have a small talk and, you know, Facebook and the rest of it is said it's down, but it's not down. Okay, I'm going to try that one more time and see if we're coming in. For those of you that's joining us live by Facebook, welcome. It's going to be an exciting time here tonight as we're trying to come on live to you. We'll do that.
Okay, do you hear me on the blog?
I hear you through a Facebook, not a certain blog.
Okay, I just made you live.
Okay.
Oh, you got kicked off again. I don't understand why you keep getting kicked off.
They don't let me there. Maybe it's too many holes.
No, do the regular number that I gave you. Thank you, everyone, for your patience. Okay. Dr. J.R. Thicklin, do you hear me?
I do not hear you through Blog Talk.
Okay, you got kicked off again.
Okay. So perhaps I should try the other number. It's recognizing two posts. It's probably not allowed to.
Well, did you dial the 760 number, 913-4115?
That's the number I'm dialing. Let's see what happens here.
Do you hear me now, Dr. Thicklin?
I do not hear you, not through Blog Talk. I can hear you. Okay, here we go. Let's try this one more time.
I don't know why it doesn't like you.
I don't know. I'm better. He's a very nice guy. Okay, I hear something. I don't hear you. He's there. Okay.
We are on Facebook Live as well, so those that are listening on Blog Talk, be patient with us. We're trying to do a dual recording. But tonight's topic is purpose in the pandemic. So much is going on here in the world today, and I thought it only fitting this month, which is Domestic Violence Month. Those of you that follow me know that this is something dear to me as a survivor of domestic violence, that we relaunch. I had been on the air, started this show back in 2009, and Shirley Carter Powell was my co-host for many years, and she'll be joining us on some of the shows. And we're now with Dr. J.R. Thicklin, who's been my friend, oh my God, since about 30 years now.
Yeah, right at 30 years. Okay, all right. So what we're going to do is this. I'm going to come on almost as one of your guests. Which I am. I'll come through. Okay.
Do you hear me now? Okay.
Okay. Do you see me now?
You got kicked off just now.
Oh. Right. have already dialed into the show, which is you, and only one host allowed of time. So I'm coming back to another one.
Okay.
Here we go. You should be able to see me now. You see me now, right? Say something that's off you.
Okay, I'm here. Do you hear me?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Okay,
okay,
so I
made
you
live.
Are you there?
We're live. I'm here.
Okay.
I hear you. Okay.
So good to have you. So could you introduce yourself to our listening audience?
I'm Dr. J.R. Thicklin. I am absolutely glad to be here. In addition to being a practitioner, motivational speaker, inspirational author, we're just excited to be able to bring a ray of sunshine as we join in on Hot Topics from the Soul.
Awesome.
Awesome.
So, Dr. J, the title tonight is Purpose in the Pandemic. So many people are going through different things mentally. Mental health has been a problem since the pandemic started. It was a problem prior to that, but now even more so than ever because people are dealing with isolation and anxieties because they're not able to connect mainstream with people they ordinarily do. And a lot of people are single.
Yes. And so are you saying is that a stressor in and of itself going through all of
Yes, it's a stressor in and of itself because there are people that are, having to deal with themselves because when you go out to work every day and interact with people and then you go home to your house, it's okay. But when you're there at your house 24/7, the rules of engagement change.
Absolutely. And so, you know, there's a famous man who said that adversity introduces a man to himself, and the pandemic is adversity, and it's introduced many people to themselves in the most unwelcome way. None of us could have foresaw what we are now living in. And in other words, you know, don't we always get it right here in this country? Don't we always, you know, snap right back? Don't we always overcome? And guess what? The unknown has taken a grip on people, and rather than being able to snap back, there are many, as you're saying, that are dealing with stressors. There are many people that are dealing with anxiety. There are many people that are even dealing with psychosis as a result of this pandemic. But like you said, it's a different world because of the fact so many things we take for granted have taken center stage during this pandemic. The fact that we get up, we go, whether we're going to work or whether we're going for out to eat, whether we're having a meeting outside, whether we're doing all these things. And all of a sudden that's shut down, and what we realize is that we are forced to deal with us. And sometimes when you're in that house too long by yourself, it looks like, it feels like the walls are closing in. The walls are closing in. Then you didn't realize how lonely you were if you were single before that. Now you really realize how lonely you are.
Right.
Because of the fact the walls are closed in. You're not really having company over, and nobody wants to come over.
Nobody wants to come over.
Exactly. So now you're feeling rejected, although you know the reason. And so all those things are happening. And what we find out in this time that people, their fear hijacked their faith. Their fear hijacked their ability to see forward, and many times they lose heart. And they try to figure out what is my purpose in the midst of this pandemic. You know, do I ride it out? Do I reinvent myself? Do I find something to do? What happens? And I think that's where we are. And, you know, and hopefully we can share some light on this today.
Well, you know, reinventing yourself is the key point to doing this because of the fact that, you know, before we were too busy to connect with ourselves. We thought about doing things and we dreamed about another life outside of a 9-to-5. Well, now is an opportunity where you can reinvent yourself. You know, you have more time to listen and to read, So those things that you wanted to do in life, like, let's say, you know, if you wanted to write a book, this is a perfect opportunity for you to write a book. You know, when you can take your emotions and put them out on a page and let those words come alive, we think we're the only one that have gone through something. But when you start writing and someone hears your words, then they're motivated and inspired because they say, oh, wow, I'm not alone. And that's one of the things that happens when people get depressed, because they feel like they're the only ones in the world that's going through something, until you start talking with someone else and you find out that they went through even worse than you have, and then you wonder, why am I crying? This person went through this and this and this. And me as a survivor of domestic violence, you know, I thought, I mean, the world was caving in on me every single day. I was fighting to survive, clawing my way through.
Yes.
And then when I started talking about it, then I realized I wasn't alone. There were thousands upon thousands of women that were victims of domestic violence, just like I was. And their stories were heart-wrenching. It was like I felt like I hadn't gone through anything when I heard some of the stories. But everyone has their different levels of pain and suffering and stress, anxiety. And it was overwhelming to me because I was isolated. I was by myself here in the area and living a life apart from my family, and the only friends I had was in the church, but then they weren't my friends because of the fact that we were in ministry, so you don't have a lot of ministry friends. We met in the church, and you had no idea I was a victim of domestic violence. So we wear these masks, and we're, you know, looked upon to be esteemed because of, whoa, we're in ministry, but we're crying, we're suffering in silence constantly on a daily basis. But it wasn't until the fact that I was able to break free from that situation and start talking about it until I realized that I wasn't alone. So therefore, I have dedicated this chapter of my life into empowering men and women, because, you know, men are victims of domestic violence. I'm sure you can talk about that.
Yes.
And know that, you know, you can springboard from that. And I had to reinvent myself. I mean, I wound up being homeless, and me and my children sleeping on one mattress, so five of us on one mattress, and that's how we lived for 3 months. I had to reinvent myself. I wound up, you know, losing my car and having a car because we were homeless, and living in a mattress in somebody's garage. It was new for me. But I didn't want to stay there because I had four people depending on me. And, you know, because I knew that they were depending on me, it gave me courage to claw my way to success. So I reinvented myself. I, you know, looked for different jobs, and then I wrote my book, From the Soul of a Woman, Love Shouldn't Hurt. And then I wrote it, and it took me 7 years to publish it because I was like, nobody wants to read about that. I mean, I was like, you know, went up under my skin because I was like, just to talk about it and communicate it. But when I wrote the book, I wrote it in a manner that it was able to read. Everybody that has read the book, they pick it up and they read it within 24 hours because, you know, I share some light in the midst of the darkness. And as a believer, I implanted different things in there to elevate and motivate and inspire individuals. And as I was expired to get up every day, brush my teeth, wash my face, get my kids dressed, go into the office, shine my face shining, and knowing that I was fighting and didn't know my next step, but I knew what I had to do was get out of bed, Get the kids together and start my day. That's all I knew. That's all I could see before me. And because I did that, because I took that step of courage and faith to do that every day, I've been able to rise up and be who I am today.
Well, I think you just gave the pattern and blueprint into finding your purpose even in the midst of pandemic. And so here's something that I heard inside what you were saying. You know, long before, you know, the word pandemic has been out there a long time, but of course it's front and center now because of COVID-19.
Yes.
So we generally have epidemic, and then after the epidemic, the greater portion of, that affects a greater population, we call it pandemic. It's interesting that the World Health Organization, the same one who deemed COVID-19 a pandemic, the World Health Organization deemed domestic violence a pandemic years ago.
Wow.
And they deemed it that because of the fact the number of women in particular that were suffering from domestic violence, I mean worldwide, not just in the United States of America, worldwide, the number of women that were suffering from domestic violence. It was a pandemic. Now, people say, well, why does it become a pandemic, and why was the World Health Organization the one that deemed it that? Because domestic violence itself is not just about physical abuse in and of itself. It's the mental, emotional, verbal abuse. It's the financial abuse, sexual abuse, but even more so. Many in research have bared it out. Victims that suffer in domestic violence oftentimes are suffering other matters, whether that is stress-related, high blood pressure, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, all of these things that is pendant to the stress that is there that impacts people long after the beating stops,
wow.
Long after those things are gone. And that's the thing that people have to understand. Inside of that, a victim is a very unique person in this sense here, because they're trying to survive in real time when they have no idea what to do. They don't have time to have a pity party because, you know, it's so much on them. And so what you demonstrated and what you said, and I hope that everyone is catching this, is that what you recognize was this. You didn't have time to feel sorry for yourself. You had four young kids who were dependent on you. So you didn't have time to say, okay, it's me, please, somebody come help me. Y'all don't know what I'm going through. Not at all. You had to look at adversity because, once again, adversity introduces a man or woman to themselves. Now, guess what? Though you are strong, you are powerful, and people need to understand, you talk about reinventing yourself, but you are a go-getter before this happened. And think about that situation that knocks the very wind out of you. And when it knocks the wind out of you, how do I find that next leg? You found that next leg because of the fact you could not dwell on yesterday, not even yesterday's successes. You had to make a way for the next day. And so inside of doing that, I do believe that one must tell themselves that what I am currently facing is not permanent. It's not permanent. It's not fatal in this sense here. So I've got to get up. I've got to get up the next morning. I've got to make it happen. But I can't dwell on yesterday because yesterday ended last night.
Yes. Yes, that is so powerful, Dr. J, because, you know, a lot of times you get so overwhelmed in a pity party. What about me? What about me? Really, nobody cares about you more than you.
Exactly.
You know, at the end of the day, everybody's going through something themselves.
Exactly.
And, you know, they care for you, but they don't know what to do for you.
No.
Especially if you're going through a domestic violence situation. This is Cancer Awareness Month. They don't know what to do for you. They don't know what to say. I had a dear friend that lost a loved one. And, you know, a lot of times you don't know what to say, how to encourage, how to comfort, because you've never been there. But what about when you have been there and that pain resurfaces in the midst of the communication to empower and inspire someone? What about that? So, you know, we find ourselves at a crossroad emotionally because we don't know how to grip, take a hold of our lives and restart, press that start button every day. And I'm not going to lie to you, there's some days, you know, not recently, but a few years back, it was hard for me taking those covers off my head. I would put that cover over my head and just like, I don't want to do it today. And my dear friend, Cynthia Grant, we were communicating quite often during that time, and we used to encourage each other. And she was like, Valerie, what you doing today? I said, I'm in a bed with covers over my head. She said, well, get yourself up and brush your teeth and comb your hair. And I said, and then when she said, start there. And you know, when I got up, brushed my teeth, washed my face, and combed my hair, I was like, I'm alive. I'm here. I'm still here. Now I need to find something to do with myself. So that's when I got the courage and got motivated to say, okay, let me see what I can do today. Because, you know, when you're there in that bed with the covers over your head, it's like you're dead.
Yeah.
Your dreams and aspirations and all that is sleep in that bed with you. And it's up to us to resurrect, to get up. Get up from that complacentness. Get up and start your day knowing that, you know, whatever happened yesterday, that was yesterday. You can build on yesterday, but don't stay stuck on yesterday.
We have to. We have to make that concerted effort, because what your friend Lydia did is, listen, without even enabling you, she inspired you by saying, what are you doing? And when you gave her the report, she said, you've got to get up from there. You can't remain there. We think oftentimes, because we pull the covers over our head, or we pull the covers or stick our head in the sand, whatever we can do to cause us not to look at the reality that we're facing, that somehow or another dismisses it. And what your friend did is called it to your attention that, look, you got to move from where you are. You got to make some steps. You got to conclude within yourself that I'm not going to stay buried up under this circumstance, up under this situation. I'm not going to stay buried there. As a matter of fact, I'm tired of just existing. I'm going to get up and I'm going to live. And even if the first sign of life was simply getting up and washing your face and
washing my face
and combing your hair. And that was your beginning right there.
Yes.
After doing so, you felt a little revival happening inside of you. And so many people have to understand, the reason we're stuck where we are many times is because we keep rehearsing where we are. And whatever we rehearse, whatever we nurture, that's what grows. So guess what? If I sit there and wait to be rescued, no, we're not waiting on Superman. Listen, it's time to get up. I mean, after all, every morning that we wake up, guess what? Today is not a continuation of yesterday. Today is not a continuation of last night. Every morning is a morning that's filled with new mercies. I mean, we get a whole new clean slate, a fresh slate. Think about it. We don't even get used mercy. We get new mercies.
New mercies.
You know, we go to the car dealership, right? And sometimes they got a new car section and they got a used car section, right? And guess what? Everyone in their lifetime dreams of at one time, at least in their life, being able to get a new car.
New car.
A new one, one that no one else is using, someone else has had. And think about it, we're blessed every morning with new mercy. Ain't nobody borrowed mercy. I thought I'd bring you the mercy. This is your grandmother's mercy. So here you go. You know, you can use it. No, it's brand new. And with those brand new mercies, a brand new opportunity. It's a brand new way of seeing life. It's a brand new way of making up in your mind that, listen, today is the last day I'll find myself in this spot.
In this place.
I'm going to change where I am. And that's what it has to take, even during a pandemic. We have to recognize that it is not over. No one has made out your epitaph. You've got to understand that I must arise, okay? Arise and get up from where I am. Listen, you said something earlier I thought was so powerful. You said this is the time, this is the prime time to do something new, whether it's to write that book that you're supposed to.
Something new.
I know there's a couple of people that are out there at least saying, but anyway, you know, it's the prime time to write that book that's been in your spirit. It's the prime time to learn something that you didn't learn when the pandemic hit. Remember, all of your Ivy League universities offer free courses. Free classes, free certifications. Reality is, how many people took advantage of it? No, because here's the real deal. I do believe this, that there are certain habits that we have, that if we've had them before adversity, they're only magnified after adversity.
Yes.
There are certain things that we did that if that was part of our belief system and structure before the adversity, it's only magnified after our adversity. Then how do we overcome it? We have to look at our adversity from a different perspective. This is not my stumbling block, but this is my stepping stool. This was made for me to overcome. This was made for me to get on the other side of it. This was made. And when I take on that attitude, I'm telling you, everything else in the universe will begin to align itself with us, because it has to. There is something about your words. You used two words earlier. You said, I had to find courage and faith to do it. And That's what you got to – courage is
and
not
we all have it. We all have
we
it.
All have
there
it.
Is a turn-on yeah. switch, but we
yeah.
got to turn it on. We all
yeah.
have a measure of courage.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people say, well, I don't want to do the next thing because I'm afraid it may not work. Les Brown says we fail our way to success.
Yes.
We
exactly.
do it every day. We fail our way. We don't know what's going to happen, but if we don't try, it will never happen.
No, no. And we got to understand this. Failure, there's not one person that ever succeeded without having failed along the way. Because failure is really, failure becomes that catalyst that causes us to want to know what the other side feels like.
Right.
And so when we ask ourselves a question, many people are marred today inside of failure, repeated failures, failures in one thing or another. And guess what? People will compound your failure if you begin to have a pity party and a campfire. So
yes.
you can't start, you cannot allow yourself to feel pitiful because you failed. I don't care if you failed at a business. I don't care if you failed at a marriage or marriage. I don't care what you failed at. Listen, you cannot allow people to put you in a box. You've got to be willing to rise up out of what you are in. Listen, because I'm going to tell you something. Every time you get back up, you're closer than you were before.
Yes.
You have to ask yourself the question, the last time I failed, did I fail because I stopped trying, or did I stop trying because I failed? Because
I failed.
And so when we answer that question, when we answer those questions, it will send a resounding message to us to get up from where we are. Let's make our way to the next stop. Listen, I'm telling you, opportunity, we talk about opportunity not. The problem is that so many of us don't open the door when it does. So we just walk through the door of opportunity, understanding, have a short-term memory. I failed yesterday. When? Yesterday.
Yesterday.
When? It was yesterday. This is a new day. This is the
yes.
day that I began to reassemble myself. Reinvent is the word that we often hear, reinvent ourselves. But I think reinvention is part of discovering purpose.
Yes.
Reinvention is part of discovering the fact that this adversity did not come to kill me. It came to give me life. It came to give me another perspective. And when we can do that, I don't care if we've been a former victim. I don't care. Even if we've contracted this deadly disease, I want you to understand this. In the midst of the climate that we live in, we've got to be able to rise above all the shenanigans that are out there. When we rehearse the pessimist voice, we only grow afraid. We grow timid. We grow insecure. But when we begin to rehearse the voice of the optimist, the one who sees the glass as half full rather than half empty, the one who sees possibility, the one who says, I'm gonna grab victory out of the jaws of defeat. The one who sees it that way there understands this here, that whatever I'm going through, it cannot last.
Yeah.
It did not come to stay. It only came to pass. And it came to pass, you are better off than you were then. And it came to pass, you rose up from a garage, sleeping on a mattress with four kids, to being an author of several books, to traveling the country worldwide, to talking to audiences from all over. And it came to pass because you didn't remain where you were.
Absolutely. You know what? I often think about what if I kept those covers over my head?
Yeah.
What if I didn't get up and open the door. There are people that won't even open the door to look at the sunshine and see what God has created. And when you open that door and see that sunshine, and that sunshine means there's possibilities. I wrote a book, Unlimited Possibilities, Walking in Purpose. And one of the things I wrote in that book is when you're in alignment with the assignment that God has for your life, it ain't going to be hard what you have to do because the world will beg for what you have. You'll find yourself walking and people will be like, oh, this and this, da, 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 da. And it's just amazing the doors that will open for you. I have you know, two sisters that are entrepreneurs, and I mean, they got their hustle on. One does Mary Kay, her name is Cynthia, and I tell you, she is relentless. Every single day, she was working a 9 to 5 and raising her children, and after that, she would do her business on it. She doesn't have just one business. She has businesses that she does because she knows that she has to make it. Mother, Sister Sheila, her hustle is on. She doesn't have one job. She has several jobs and raises her. I mean, their hustle on, they make me tired. But I told them because I'm big sis now, you know, I can sit back and look at them. But to look at the energy and know that, okay, you went through a tragedy, you went through a trauma, but don't stay there. Don't stay locked in that box. Get up. Pull that cover off. Get up. You're in the greatest season of your life right now. Why? Because of the fact that you got up this morning. You're breathing. And that means that God still has need of you. He still has something for you to do. Even if it's to connect with one person. Do you know that as I started going and working and doing, you know, what I felt that God's purpose for my life was, that doors just began to open. I never saw myself speaking, let alone being on a radio show and doing Facebook Live.
Yes.
I got on for a few seconds on my birthday, and I was mortified. I was so traumatized by doing that. I was like, I don't think this is going to work. But when you have surround yourself with people that encourage you and motivate you, like you, Jay, you, Dr. Jay, you always inspired or always motivated me to, you know, Dr. Val, you can do more. And I'm like, does this man know I'm tired?
But you make it look easy now, though. And that's the other part. But you make it look so easy now. And that's the other part of the story is that, you know, people that motivate oftentimes, you know, once they are motivated, they see others just take off. And I think that inside of when you look at your life, I mean, and inside of your books, I never forget when you, your first book, From the Soul of a Woman, you know, Love Shouldn't Hurt. And I knew that it took a lot for you to write that book. I knew that
it took a lot for me to write that book.
You pushed through a lot of things. Even though, listen, you were still concerned about, I don't want to make nobody look bad. I don't want to, you know, I just, you were still concerned about those things. But it took the realization of the fact that even exposing yourself or making yourself vulnerable or making yourself transparent, you had to decide whether or not I was going to be trapped inside of trying to keep a mask on so that nobody know what I've gone through, or was I going to release? Because in releasing this, you open up something about your purpose. You showed your strength. And that's really the message for those that are inside of a situation, whether they're abusive or whether or not they're in the midst of a pandemic, whether or not they're coming off of divorce, whether they're coming out of whatever, is that we have to find a way, and that strength is there for us, that courage is there. We have to begin to dig in right there and make up in our mind, I will not be bound by fear. I'm not going to be bound by embarrassment. I'm not going to be bound by people's opinion. I'm not going to be bound by that, because I'm going to tell you at the end of the day, sometimes the greatest thing that has us bound is what we allow to rest in our mind. And I'm not going to, I'm not listening to the voices of those naysayers, because their opinion and $2.89 can get you a cup of coffee from Dunkin' Donuts. And I promise you, if you go to Dunkin' Donuts, $2.89, they're still going to give you a cup of coffee minus someone else's opinion.
Yeah.
And that's the way we have to look at it. And being able to rise above even some folks that supposedly mean well, oftentimes do not know how to convey and deal with people in their pain.
Right.
There are people that don't know how to minister, I use that term, or to nurture somebody in the midst of their pain. Too often we see that as the opportunity to pounce on it. Oftentimes magnify the other things about the person that we didn't like in the first place. You know?
Right.
So this is a good time to tell you about yourself. This is a good time to tell you about what's all wrong with you. And I'm telling you that you have to shut those things down. You have to have a short memory. what people say because I'm telling you.
Walk in forgiveness.
You got to walk in the forgiveness, and you got to also become a different landlord.
Yeah.
You got to evict folks out of your mind. They ain't paying rent up there, okay? You got to evict them out of your mind. What are you doing up there? Because they have taken residence in your thoughts. They've taken residence in your heart. Their opinion has become factual to you, and now you're immobilized while those people are still going on.
They're still going on.
The forgiveness part that you're saying is that forgiveness works on so many different levels. You've got to be willing to forgive others. But this is one of the things I find. One of the hardest things for me to do, and I'm quite sure I'm not unique. Forgiving others is not the hard part for me. Forgiving myself.
Right. That was hard for me.
Yeah. Forgiving myself. Releasing myself. Forgiving myself was the hardest thing. But when I learned to forgive myself, because, see, you can't self-beat yourself into being greater. You can't internalize things so greatly that you feel like, okay, well, I guess I'm born. Do I look weak enough? Do I look sorry enough? Do I look broken enough? No, that's not for you to put on a performance to do. That happens inside of your transparency. That happens inside of your contrition. That happens inside of you coming to the place of recognizing I'm not blaming no one else. I accept responsibility for my part and for what I've done. When I go that route, there's something that is released from us. Because, you know, one of my favorite little passages from my favorite book that says, you know, that a broken and a contrite spirit that he would know how to respond. So when I'm broken and the contrition is there, let me say something. I don't care what the naysayers say, because guess what? I know that the tears have been seen. I know that the brokenness have come. And guess what? The brokenness was never meant to be permanent. It was never meant to be permanent. So if you go through a phase of life where you are heartbroken, you feel broken inside of things, your spirit been broken because of something you've gone through, your spirit been broken because of betrayal, it was not meant to be permanent in your life. Even David, if I could use David for an example, Psalm 51, David gets down there after he did what he did, but he recognizes what's happening to him, and he comes to what we're saying. He tells the truth to himself. He comes into that agreement and understanding this, but then he says this. I love this. Because he goes, okay, I got you. I know what I've done. He calls me to hear joy and gladness that the bones that thou hast broken, that were broken again, may rejoice. That means this, that there's a time that you may mourn, the Bible says. That's a time and a season perfect for all things. That's a time to mourn, and that's also a time to what? Laugh. That's a time to rejoice. And so don't get buried up under the covers because you're broken. Don't get buried there, because I'm telling you, your morning light is getting ready to come. The covers have got to come off of you, and I'm telling you, the bursting of day is going to come forth, and that is your time to find strength and to rejoice and get up and do that thing. Do that thing. Make it happen, because he's
here. Yeah, you know what? A lot of times we don't do that thing because we worry about other people's opinions.
Exactly.
And we allow people's opinion to dictate our reality.
Yeah.
And when we do that, it hinders and blocks us from being who we're supposed to be. You know, we're so caught up emotionally and mentally in what other people think about us. Till we don't realize that they don't have no heaven or hell to put us in. And they're not doing nothing with their lives. As a matter of fact, they know your potential. And that's what they're mad about. You ever come across somebody that don't like you, and you don't know why they don't like you? Well, they don't like you because of the fact that they have no idea who they are, because they figure you got it all together. And because they think you got it all together, they get mad and have an attitude with you because they're like, oh, she thinks she all that, or he thinks he's all that, because they already know your potential. They already know the magnitude, the impact that you can make on this planet.
Absolutely.
And that's where the jealousy comes in. So if nothing else, that should inspire you and encourage you to get up from there and be who they think and know you can be.
Oh, bye, bye, bye. That is some words of encouragement right there, because I'm telling you, some people haven't moved past their last criticism.
Yes. They get locked up in opinions.
They haven't moved since their last put down. You got to understand something. That is why the significance of who we are is not predicated by other people's opinion. We cannot allow anyone else's opinion of us to become our reality of ourselves.
Yes.
We've got to be able to push forward beyond that. And we have to also understand this, is that we have to see ourselves through the eyes, the lens of what we were made to be. My adversity doesn't make me sad. My adversity becomes a reward of me becoming who I am. My adversity doesn't bury me, but rather than my adversity causes me to rise. And when I understand that, and when I understand the fact that you owe nobody, watch it, you don't have to put on a pity party, I'm sorry party, I'm so broken party for men to accept you. Understand something. This is something between you and God, and when you've made your peace and you've done your part there, allow God to restore you.
Yeah.
Allow yourself to come up. Because if you're waiting on somebody to accept you back in the club, somebody to accept you back through the door, well, let me see. You haven't performed enough feats yet for us to accept you back. Oh, listen here. You haven't done 3 Hail Marys, 2 twists, and three higher yet. And so we can't accept you back. Don't you allow someone to put the pause button on your life. Because when the sign comes and when the voice says go and the voice of God says go, you got to go. You got to go.
Right.
You cannot allow for people to approve you. People that live
or devalue you, your worth.
Exactly. It works both ways. That's why people, we cannot get all caught up with the fact that, you know, sometimes we may say things or do things that are profound, and we go to look to see if we have enough likes. Well, I'm not talking about likes. Likes are not going to it's not going to define me. Likes should not define you. If likes can define you, lack of likes can be thrown at you. Absolutely.
Wow.
So for those of you that like that, God bless you. And for those of you that didn't like that, God still bless you.
Dr. J, you know, a lot of my listeners, of course, they follow me on Blog Talk and Facebook, and we're streaming live from your Facebook now. So tell individuals about you and the work that you're doing, because you're doing a phenomenal work, especially when it as it relates to domestic violence.
Well, one of the things that is so that I'm very proud of now, and Dr. Val, you know, it's been a number of years, and you talked about the fact we've known each other right at 30 years, and I've been in this work a long time, right at that time. And one of the things that has been phenomenal for me is the fact of being a male, and then being a black male, and then being a spirit-filled male, and being able to be a part of this journey, not only just as an advocate, but as a practitioner. As one that have dealt with the inside out of these things, the one that have seen victims become survivors and become thrivers and become individuals that are making inroads everywhere. Being there also on the other side, seeing men that were once perpetrators, that when they were willing to put in the work, willing to be real with themselves, willing to be transparent, willing to change their belief system, change their behavior, to see them become transformed. The other part of the work is also understanding this. It's a breaking down the fact of a lot of the erroneous doctrines that oftentimes contributed to victims remaining in abusive relationships. So as you know, we've done a lot of work with educating the church, the faith community, because it needed to be had. I remember some years ago, you went up to Tallahassee, I believe it was, and they was dealing with first wives or first ladies and stuff that was abused and stuff like that. Those conversations, I'm glad to say that I was part of those beginning type of things and introducing those things within the church realm, because of the fact many people remain in that cloak of silence and they hide behind praise God, hallelujah, we're fine, won't he do it? Won't who do what? Because he did what he did to you, and you don't want everybody to know.
Right.
No. I am glad to say that inside of that, continue to do this work, to raise the level of this, training seminars, develop the clergy toolkit on domestic and sexual violence, being able to do the work that we're doing now, even inside, well, COVID has stopped a lot of things, but inside of the correctional institution, the prison, as the guys are coming back, be able to do a special safe return domestic violence with them. Why? Because at some point in time, we've got to deal with the word transformation, not rehabilitation. Understand this. We often say they've gone to rehabilitation. Well, rehab means to be made back as you were. If they was broken and messed up and filled with all that stuff before they went in, that's not where I want them to come back to. We want them to be transformed. Transformation, meaning the fact mindset, heart, actions follow along with it. And what makes this rewarding is this, is that your only real pay, your only real reward from this is change lives.
Mm.
Change lives.
Wow. What's
men
your website?
www.destinybychoice.org. And also you can go to jrthickland.com. So both of those websites, you're able to find us.
Yes. And, you know, you being a male and the work that you're doing and the passion, it's not just like, oh, I'm just doing this. You are passionate about this. And our relationship spans over 30 years. And we've been through relationships. And you've been at my wedding with my king, Mr. Alan Kagan Jr. God is good.
Yeah,
I waited 19 years, and, you know, we're going to have some talks regarding relationships because one of the things that, you know, I want to continue talking about is that waiting period and not just jumping into relationships just because or just to say you have somebody. So even in this pandemic, we're going to do a series called Love in the Pandemic as well because people are finding love because, you know, some people are so busy that they don't have time for relationships. But they've been able to just, like, settle down and be able to repurpose it. Breathe a little bit, and then discover who they are. Because, like I said, a lot of times, you know, we're uncomfortable with who we are. You know, looking in the mirror and say, what have I become? We get so busy just running in a cycle till we don't even know who we are anymore or what we want or desire. When I got divorced from my first husband, it was like, I had no idea who I was because I was so wrapped up in what he needed till what I wanted didn't matter. And a lot of times we get in relationships like that where we lose ourselves. We get in jobs like that. We lose ourselves. We have no idea. We get wrapped up in church. Don't know who we are. You know, you have more Christians that are depressed because they don't have that nucleus that they can't touch, they can't hug because they were looking forward to that every Sunday because they didn't have any, like, real friends or real contact, and they had to come to the realization of who they are. But, you know, I'm reminded that if you have friends, you must first show yourself friendly. If you want friends, be friendly. Communicate with people. But a lot, I also know that people won't communicate with people because they don't want them to reject them. People are afraid of rejection, that if you know the real me, you won't know, you won't like me, you won't accept me. And it goes back again to people's opinions, you know, your opinion dictating who you are, how you breathe, how you look, how you walk. If someone says, oh, I don't like that hair you got on there, then you just fall into a shell and be like, oh, they don't like my hair. How many people don't like their hair? You overanalyze and make one person's negativity become the whole gamut. And we have to empower ourselves mentally and emotionally. And how do you do that? Come more in tune with you, your desires. You're just not here breathing for nothing. We want you to keep breathing, but we want you to share your breath of life with other people. Don't rob us of your beauty. Don't rob us of the glorious impact that you can make in somebody's life. There's children that need you and need to hear from you. You know, as adults, we've become detached away from children, even if we're not their parents. I grew up in a society when I was growing up, you were able to deal with other people's children. You saw them out of line and you straighten them out. And we have gotten away from that because we say, oh, we don't want to get arrested and this and that. But there's nothing wrong with saying now. I've been out to a restaurant eating, and these kids were showing out, and the parent couldn't do nothing with them. And I went over there and I said, what are you doing? And they like stop, like, okay, because they recognize authority. So we got to get back to taking our authority back in the earth, standing in our own truth, standing in our own presence, and recognizing that we are somebody, that we're able to transition, transform, and restore lives.
Absolutely. And one of the things that you said is so important. One of the reasons why we are in this topsy-turvy is because of the fact the different messages that society sends us. You know, now what was considered strong then, it's like now you're being busy matters and other folks' affairs. But we had this sense of understanding that order was important. Order was important, that even with these kids, perhaps these kids never been out before. If nothing else, I need to stop them in their tracks and let them know, no, that's unacceptable.
That's not how you do that.
Yeah, and we have to do so in our
society. After all, don't teachers do it?
Teachers do it all the time.
Don't teachers do it in the classroom? Your child is acting up and not doing what they're supposed to do. Aren't teachers an authority system where they're able to shape and mold your child? So why can't you do that at home?
Well, you just segue into another part because we talked about what this pandemic produced. I promise you, we can get a million parents who say they have a different appreciation for teachers and schools. Why?
Yeah.
Because during this pandemic, when these children had to stay at home, some parents almost lost their mind up in here, because they had to deal with their child all day long. They didn't get a break. They recognize, I don't really like this child that much. I don't like this child 4 hours a day. I like this child about 16, and that's about 16 hours. And now they're forced to deal with it. And guess what? Many of them, many parents would vote for the schools to open back brick and mortar, not because of the fact it was safe. They just wanted them to get out of their house.
Get out of the house.
They were about to lose their mind.
Yes.
And we have to deal with that and understand that this adversity really presented an opportunity for us to become closer.
Yes.
To introspect, to understand, what is it that causes my child to tick? Some parents undoubtedly probably found out their kids were more talented than what they thought they were.
Mm-hmm.
Some parents also found out their kids wasn't always the angel. Some parents finally figured out why all those notes that was coming from the teacher from the school was coming. They came into the revelation and recognized, my God, this is the way you act in school? I need to go and give the teacher a gold star for putting up with you. And so we have to get back to the point of establishing identities and expectations. We have to do so. I know that there are those of you that are listening by way of Facebook and those are by Blog Talk Radio and the other platform. If you have a question there, please, or comment, please put it there. If we don't get to it this week, we'll definitely get to it before next time. Inside of this, we're looking forward to this platform that we're on. And I was reading some of your comments about the fact of even right now, you might feel heartbroken.
Yeah.
We understand that. People, life happens. And sometimes
life
we are heartbroken. Life happens to all of us. But your heartbrokenness doesn't have to be permanent. It doesn't have to be forever. Oftentimes we hold on to things because if we hold it tight enough, we think the pain will
go away.
But
yes,
in all actuality, what we have to begin to do is recognize when it's time to let it go. When do I let it go? When I let it go, that's really when I begin to heal. When I let it go, somebody, you've been shipwrecked. You've been discouraged. You really gone through this pandemic.
Yes.
It threw you off course. Somebody, you was right in the midst of a great deal that was happening, and this totally threw you off.
And
you deemed it as you being a failure, but we're here to tell you you're not a failure. No, you're not. It is time for you to hit the reset button in your life. It is time for you to understand the fact that life is a journey, and you and I, we're on this journey oftentimes. And those of us that, although sometimes we know where we're going, I'm the guy who knows where he's going and will still put the GPS on. Why? Because every now and then the GPS will tell me, accident ahead. Exit here, or it will tell me what I need to do. And this is the thing I'm trying to get you to understand. If you feel that you've been shipwrecked, you've been knocked off course in the midst of this pandemic, you lost that fire that you had, you can get back on. Because also like a GPS, when we take a wrong turn, we get off too early or we get off too late, it's a sweet sound of that GPS that will say, rerouting, rerouting.
Rerouting.
And this is your season. A rerouting you back to your purpose, rerouting you back to something that's greater than where you've been, rerouting you to that greater thing that's been there all along. See, rerouting you because the fact where you were was too comfortable already. You had become familiar with it. You knew the wrinkles that was in it. You knew how many threads that was missing in it. But now adversity introduces a man or woman to him or herself, and now it causes you to lift up your head. It causes you to look through a new set of lenses. And what you make up in your mind is that I'm going forth because I heard reroute, and I'm rerouting to my greater purpose, to my greater self. I'm rerouting to grab a hold of that which I've never had before. And I'm telling you, this could be the greatest opportunity in our lives. In the midst of this pandemic, there's
yes.
still purpose. There's
yes.
still purpose.
Absolutely. I believe
yeah.
it. I believe
yeah.
it with every fiber of my being that this is the best of times for many of us that will rise to the occasion. Just take the courage, the strength, every fiber that's in it, just like you get up every morning. Take on that garment, that mantle, and say, I'm going to make life happen. And realize that whatever happens today is just not about you. You say, well, I don't have any friends. I don't have nobody close like that. Nobody cares about me. But your life matters. Somebody is waiting on you to manifest yourself. Some people are stuck because you haven't shifted to where you need to be. And they're waiting on you because you're going to be that light. They're waiting on you because you're that missing link. They are waiting on you to step into your purpose so that they can shift into theirs. We're all connected. We're connected. I don't care where we live, where we come from, our economical status. We're all connected to empower and inspire other individuals' lives. And we're getting ready to wrap up Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm Dr. Valerie Parker Hagen. You can visit my website, www.fromthesoulofawoman.com, and email me at soultopics@gmail.com. Dr. J, your information?
Once again, you can find me on my website, www.destinybychoice.org, or jrstickland.com, and you can email me once again, the easiest one, manofpurpose2000@gmail.com.
Yes.
Absolutely.
This has just been amazing. I thank you all for tuning in to our first Hot Topics from the Soul of 2020. Took a 2-year break, but we're
yes.
back. And we're even better because now you can see us at
Yes.
So God is good. We're reinventing ourselves. We're working and walking in purpose.
And we're not anxious trying to get back to what was normal. We are now establishing new normals. And that's what it's all about. When we reinvent ourselves, we establish new normals, we establish new identities, and we establish new paths. And that's the beautiful part about it. Listen, I am so glad that I'm not defeated. I'm so glad that I'm not throwing a pity party. If you didn't get an invitation from me, there ain't no party. Because we're moving forward, right? There's no pity party going over here. For everyone that was wishing that you would give up, For everyone that was wishing that you was defeated, you served notice by simply saying you didn't get an invitation from me. There is no pity party going on over here. I am renewed. I am strengthened. I am excited. And I am emboldened. And I am rejuvenated. And I'm ready to go. Listen here. I'm ready to go.
I'm ready to go.
Absolutely. So next week, I believe we're on next Tuesday. It's
next Tuesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can go to my website, DrValerieParkerHagen.com, and look at the replays as well. And follow me on Facebook if you're not my friend already. And also subscribe to our YouTube channel, Valerie Parker Hagen and Soul Topics on YouTube.
And I think you can find us at Man of Purpose. 2000, okay, right there on YouTube. And about another week or two, we're going to have a special guest that's going to be with us. As you heard Dr. Parker Hagen say, we're going to be talking about relationships and different things. We're going to have with us in just a couple weeks. That's right, Adrian in